Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday, and it's going to be a great night tonight on a Tuesday. I have no idea how we're going to get to all of it. But man, let me just do this. I'll just take a deep breath in. This is from a movie. I didn't come up with this. And then I'm just going to unload with everything we've got going. You ready? We have to talk about a George Washington statue coming down. Zelensky's in D.C. begging for more money. Congress is going to shut down. Ray Epps has been charged, but only with one crime. Gen Z is too lonely. Joe Biden's an idiot. A football fan just died at a game. The Taliban is arresting Christians, and we have a shortage of police officers. Donald Trump's not going to the debate, and three guys just got acquitted in Michigan. All that and so much more. It's coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Yeah, it's a good point, Chris. If only we had something to talk about. But I'm going to begin here. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the Congress stuff and the shutdown and the Zelensky and all the other things in a few moments. But this Ray Epps thing has people talking today. Ray Epps. Who is Ray Epps? You know this by now, obviously. Ray Epps is the alleged Trump supporter who is on camera yelling on January 5th for the other people to go into the Capitol the next day on January 6th. He's standing in a large crowd of people. Well, here he is.
As soon as President Trump is finished speaking, we are going to the Capitol. It's that direction. That's where our true problems lie.
President Trump is done speaking. We are going to the Capitol. That's where our problems lie.
Okay, folks, we need your help. As soon as President Trump stops speaking, we are going to the Capitol. The Capitol's in that direction. Let people know. Spread the word.
He's on camera saying, and we're going in the Capitol. Ray Epps is on camera several times organizing people, including the day before, to get them down to the Capitol. You know all this. Even when he says go into the Capitol, the crowd... Oh, Chris has that too. Listen to what the crowd says after he says it.
We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
Fed!
The crowd says, no, I don't want to go in the Capitol, and starts chanting Fed at Ray Epps. Then Ray Epps mysteriously avoids all charges for a couple years while everybody who even was in farting distance of D.C. is going to federal prison. No charges for Ray Epps. None. And then today, it comes out that Ray Epps is being charged by the DOJ. Oh, that's interesting, right? Justice is being done. And then you dig into it. He's being charged with one misdemeanor count. He's going to plead guilty, basically get off scot-free. Now, what you've seen and probably heard, if you've heard this at all today, you've heard so many people screaming with outrage at the lightness of the charges. How in the world could you take all these January 6th people, ruin their lives, destroy their lives, in the case of all the suicides, end their lives, and then you take this guy who's on camera doing worse things than any of them, and only give him one little misdemeanor. What is going on here? This is ridiculous. But everybody is missing something. They're all missing something. And we're going to pause on that for a moment. You ever seen or at least read about a coronation of a king or a queen? If you've never seen one on TV, and most people haven't. Look, I've never seen one on TV. Bits and pieces of maybe that last British one, but I've read about them. How crazy elaborate are they? I've read about coronations where they will pull special water out of a mountain spring and haul it mile after mile after mile so the king can bathe in it. I've heard stories of animals, and it's crazy statues. One story I read about, I believe it was a Swedish queen, if I remember correctly. It took years to plan for her coronation. They had special structures built, multiple, so she could parade through the city with this gigantic stream of animals and everything else underneath the sun. Coronations, you know what they are, right? What's the point? Just stay with me. This is all going to come back to politics. What's the point? If you're a Swedish queen and you're officially the queen, why a coronation? Why a parade? Why are you building structures for me that people will walk under and walk around and see? Why not just have the queen, hey, ma'am, come on in. Hey, this is your seat. This is your throne. Here we have your crown. We measured your head, so we fit this one special for you. Anyway, you're the queen now, so do queen stuff. Why not? Isn't that more efficient? Shoot, isn't it cheaper? These coronations are amazingly expensive. Why not just do that? I mean, that's what I would do. Isn't that what you would do? Hey, just tell me where my throne is and hand me my crown and I'm good. But they don't do that, do they? Why the coronation? Well, man, it is not in man's nature to hide his power or to keep his power, any power he may have, quiet. I wish it was. The good part of his nature would be to keep it quiet, to be silent about it. But man, as you know, we have a bit of an evil nature, sinful one, if you will. It is man's inclination to voice that. You have a friend like this. Hopefully you aren't this friend, but you have a friend like this. The second he buys a new car, new house, new boat, new gun, he's pulling out pictures showing everybody, look at all my stuff. Look at all my, Chris and I know a guy. I'm not going to mention his name. We know a guy. He's famous for this. You meet him. First thing he'll say, hey man, what's going on? Nice to meet you. Anyway, I got to go. I got floor seats to the Rockets game again tonight. I'm a big shot. Going to drive down there in my Mercedes. We this guy's famous for this around here. Second you meet him, he's telling you about all the stuff he's got. It is man's nature to show you his power. Why this ridiculous misdemeanor charge for Ray Epps? Why? They knew this charge would prompt all kinds of outrage from the right. They knew that today, they could have predicted it, and I guarantee they did predict it. They knew that today, all day long, TV, radio, print, you and your friend circles, they knew all day long people would be screaming about how unjust this is, how unfair this is. They knew that we would be screaming about double standards and two different standards and the hypocrisy. They knew these things would come. They knew that you would be mad. They knew that I would be mad. So why would you do it? I mean, why not just not charge him at all? Or why not throw the book at him? Well, they're doing this to show you who's really in charge. That whole, quote, two different standards of justice, the right loves to use that line. That was the system that was in place 10 years ago. That's old news. This whole Justice Department for you, but not for them, that's old news. What is new is them being able to show you, them being able to show you without consequence. You see, thanks to COVID and some other things, these people now, They feel completely comfortable taking all their power, power they've taken from you, and taking your face and rubbing it in it like it's a big pile of dog poop the puppy just left by the front door. The Ray Epps misdemeanor ridiculous charge that has everybody yelling and screaming today. I have some bad news for you. That was the whole point. The point of it was to show you who the kings and queens are and who the peasants are. When there's a new king, when there's a new queen, she doesn't just sit down at the throne. You see, there must be a parade. But what is the point of the parade? Is it for the king? Is it for the queen? No, they already know they're king and queen. They're well aware, trust me. The point of a coronation is not for the king, it's not for the queen, it's for the people. These people insist on showing you how much more powerful they are than you. This is done to you on purpose. This is exactly like the COVID protocols I've ranted to you about before. Why did all the lockdown politicians get caught immediately violating all their own rules, out to dinner, no mask, on vacation, not a care in the world? Why did they, quote, get caught? Because they wanted to get caught. They wanted you to know, look, peasant, there are rules that you have to live by that I do not, because I'm the king and you are not. That's why Ray Epps gets a slap on the wrist. It's to show you who's really running things around here. All right, enough. Let's talk about George Washington statues being removed. But first, let's talk about this debt. And let's talk about how we shortchange our dogs. And we don't want to. We spoil our dogs. I know you spoil yours. Lord knows mine gets spoiled. Certainly not by me, but by the wife and kids, of course. I would never slip him food from the table or snuggle with him. But we shortchange them with their dog food. We want to keep them healthy. We want to give them good food. That's why we buy this special blend or that blend, because that's what Kibbles really likes. But the truth is, doesn't matter what kind of dog food you buy them, they're not getting any nutrition from it. The dog food is dead. They kill everything in dog food at the factory so the dog food will last longer on the shelf. It's not some trick. It's what they do to make it last. You're giving your dog empty calories, unless you're giving them Rough Greens. Rough Greens is green, all natural nutritional supplement your dog's going to go crazy for. Pour it on your dog's food. Watch your dog live longer. Go get you a free bag. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to get to the debt crisis thing here in just a second, but I've got my own personal crisis. I know it's the beginning of the show and we have bigger stories, but I don't care. This is the biggest story in the world to me. I've got an issue. And it's an issue at home. My knee is a little sore. And I know, hold on, let me explain. It's deeper than that. That in and of itself is not a big deal. You see, I don't like cardio, right? I don't enjoy cardio for working out. So I tend not to do much of it. What do? I generally just kind of lift weights, that kind of thing. That's what I enjoy doing. I decided that I was going to start rucking again. Forced march. Humping, that's what we called it in the Marines. They were called humps. What is it? Put a bunch of weight in a pack and go for a walk. That's what it is. It's outstanding for you, I should note. It's also really miserable, but it's so good for your legs, your back, your lungs, and your heart. And I decided that I was going to go rucking. I have this pack. It's part of my go bag. I have this pack. I have some dumbbells in the house. Just going to drop a dumbbell in there, go for some rucks. And when I first began this about a month ago, by the way, it's the Jesse Kelly Show, and you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I came downstairs with my ruck in my hands. I'm putting it on, and the wife goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to go for a ruck outside." She said, "You know, you're 42, right?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, that's going to be too hard on your joints now. You're not 21 anymore. You're fine." Well, of course, as you can imagine, you throw a challenge like that out to me. I gave it to her right between the eyes. And what are you saying, woman? You're saying I still can't go for a nice long force march? I'm going to show you. And she's rolling her eyes now and snickering. Sure, Jess, sure. I'm going now. And since then, I've been rucking.
and my knee hurts. And I know that now I should rest it, probably even go home tonight and put some ice on it. And I know that I should stop the rucking. I should find a different cardio thing. But I cannot give her this win. I can't let her see me with some kind of a brace or something on my knee. I cannot be seen with ice on my knee. She can never find out that the knee is even the slightest bit sore. I can never stop under any circumstances. Otherwise, she'll never let me hear the end of it. Oh, that's right, Chris. Don't think I haven't thought of that. We have ice right here in the studio. What I'm going to do from now on, I'm going to race right to the studio, ice down the knee. She'll never have any idea. But now, because of that conversation, I must ruck until my leg falls off. So that's what's going on here on the Jesse Kelly Show. What, Michael? You look. Why do you look confused? What, Michael? Michael, gosh, see, this is what happens when you do a show with children. This is what happens when you do a show with children. Michael actually just got on the microphone and said, just strengthen your knees. Michael, the legs are plenty strong. The knees, do you know why they hurt, Michael? Because in the Marines, you hump pound after pound after pound, mile after mile after mile, and eventually there's no cartilage left in the knee. There's nothing to strengthen, Michael. It's bone on bone. There's nothing to strengthen. I'm old. You won't be 12 forever. You will know what it's like to be old one day. Does that make sense? No, it's not about just warming up. You can just warm up. See, this is what happens. You guys are, you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You can go out and drink 24 beers till midnight and then get up and run 10 miles at 5 a.m. the next day and not even be tired or sore. It doesn't work that way when you're 42. What, Chris? Yes, I'm scheduling a knee replacement. Yes, and you know what? I'm going to get a great one, too. I'm going to spend the money, and my knee's going to be dynamite, and I'm going to have to find a way to get that done behind her back, too. But I will do it. I will do it. All right. Now, let's have a talk. I kind of wanted to sidetrack there for a minute because we're having a big discussion right now in Washington, D.C. that I find to be completely and utterly ridiculous. What is the discussion they're having? Well, what do we fund in the government and what do we not fund? And the opinions on this are all over the map. But before we get to Kevin McCarthy or Chip Roy or Matt Gaetz or any of these other people who are arguing about fund this, don't fund that, what do we do with this, what do we do with that, before we do that, I think it's appropriate to start really at the back end first here. This is a conversation I had with Peter Schiff on my TV show, I'm Right. Peter Schiff is the man who predicted the 2008 gigantic storm that came. He predicted it beforehand. He's famous for that. This is what Peter had to say about our current economic situation.
All these things that we've spent money on over the years, over the decades, we've borrowed. We haven't collected enough taxes from Americans to pay for the spending. And so we've built this $33 trillion debt mountain. And that's just the tip of the mountain, because there's a lot of debt that is unfunded that we still are obligated to pay. The U.S. government has co-signed a lot of liabilities. And when you add that all together, you're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars. It is completely unpayable. And historically, the way governments get out of this situation is through inflation. They just print away the value of their liabilities, but they destroy everybody's savings and everybody's, you know, paper assets and their wages in the process.
Have you, just quick side note, I don't mean to get sidetracked here. You have called Oxford Gold Group already, right? You heard what Peter Schiff just said, and we're going to go through this in a little bit more detail here in just a moment, but they're destroying the value of your dollar. They're not stopping. They're not slowing down. And according to Peter, and I tend to believe him, they will not. It's not what governments do. Historically, governments don't do that. So let me ask again, do you have gold or silver coins in your physical possession? You really need to do that now. Do you have it in your retirement? Your 401k, your IRA, because right now, if that's made up of all dollars, you might be in a bit of trouble. Call Oxford Gold and let them get you out of that trouble. It's one phone call, and they're super chill about it. It's not some used car salesman racket here. These are my people. I love them. They're my friends. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call, and they will take care of you, but look, you just heard what he said. They're not stopping. They're not slowing down. They just keep going. 833-995-GOLD. Call Oxford Gold Group, all right? Before that bubble pops, call them. Now, let's have a chat about these discussions about what we fund and what we don't fund. Because I hear arguments from all over the place. There's McCarthy with this stance and Gates with this stance and Roy with this stance. And I'm just fascinated by it. And I'll explain in just a moment.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember to email your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email everything in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris will read it. He will print it. He will give it to me. Now, I want you to picture this, because we're going to go into this whole budget talk that they're going through right now, the budget arguments in D.C. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture it's just you and me, and we're in a life raft, all right? We're in a life raft, and the life raft is full, absolutely full of bricks in the middle of it, and this is a two-person life raft. We're in the middle of the ocean. We look down. We see all these gigantic sharks swimming around underneath us. I just read this World War II story this morning about these sailors who were shipwrecked. It's not the Indianapolis. It was a different one. And they're on their rafts and they're looking down at all the sharks swimming around underneath them. And the sharks are starting to grab guys and eat them and pull them down. So that's us, right? That's you and me. We're in the life raft. The life raft is full of bricks. And we can see that the weight of the bricks is breaking the life raft. It's tearing it apart. It's causing holes in it. We can hear it creaking. Just the life raft is about to go. These bricks, the amount we have in already, they're going to kill us. You're going to die, and I'm going to die. And I want you to imagine, in that scenario, you and me, we say, hey, let's have a quick meeting here. Let's put our heads together. I don't know. What do you think? How many more bricks do you think we should add to the life raft? Do you think we should add 10? No, you want to add 100? Man, I only want to add 20. I don't know. Let's split the difference. Let's add 50. It's ridiculous to think about, right? The meeting we should be having right now, you and me in our life raft, should be how many bricks can we throw out now? Because we're going to die if we don't get these bricks out of the life raft. That, in fact, is the only meeting we need to have. There's not another meeting that needs to happen before that meeting. We don't even need to meet and discuss how we're going to get fresh water or food. Because unless that meeting happens, unless we figure out how to get the bricks out of the life raft, we're going to die. That is what I picture as I look at all the Republicans and Democrats in D.C. discussing where to send the billions of dollars that we don't have. We just hit $33 trillion in national debt, far exceeding the GDP now. We are almost at complete ruin. It doesn't feel like it because we haven't hit the wall yet, but that's what happens when a nation gets in this spot. We are in the life raft. The bricks are loaded. It's coming apart. In all of these people, they're all sitting around discussing how to load more bricks and what the appropriate number is. Just how many bricks should we add to the life raft?
We had a long week. We're not September 30th yet, but the one thing I'll tell everybody, I've never seen anybody win a shutdown. You only put the power in the hands of the administration. If you want to secure the border, pass Homeland. If you want to make America strong and secure, you pass the DOD appropriations bill. If you're not willing to pass appropriation bills, and you're not willing to pass a continuing resolution to allow you to pass the rest of appropriation bills, and you don't want an omnibus, I don't quite know what you want. So, I mean, we just have to get together, figure it out, and move forward.
Hey, why don't we just pass these bills, guys? There are no bricks. Why don't we just throw all the bricks? Let's add all the bricks. Who cares? We'll add way more bricks. It's all fine. It's no big deal. Let's add some bricks to it. Chip Roy was on my TV show. He at least wants to cut something.
And what the question is going to be on September 30th is, are we going to rubber stamp a continuing resolution that is a bill that will keep government funded at last year's levels? Are we going to maintain that status quo? If we do, then we're maintaining the funding and the priorities of the Biden administration and at the grossly high level from last December. Our position is that we should not do that. We should limit those funds and or get massive policy changes, starting first with the border and ensuring that we actually change what's happening at the border with respect to the assault on Texas, but also dealing with things like the Department of Justice, the Department.
You see, you hear, and Chip's the good one, right? Chip's the one on our side. Chip's outstanding. I wish he was a senator from the state instead of that useless idiot Cornyn. But that's Chip. He's going for 8%. And this is not an insult to Chip. That's currently, as it stands, that's the far right position in Washington, D.C. right now. An 8% cut. We'll get some cuts. Let's make sure border, military, taxes. That's the position. Or maybe further right than Chip, I don't know, is Matt Gaetz.
I'm doing everything I can to assemble a coalition to defeat the Donald CR. I believe that it is really kind of frivolous in the cuts because they only occur for 30 days. And I'm over the CR era of the House of Representatives. The deal we made in January compels single subject spending bills where each agency comes forward and defends their budget. And those would be bills that would be open to amendment. That's what the American people want to see.
And so you're comfortable with a government shutdown at the end of it?
Well, I'm not comfortable with it, frankly. We should have had our spending bills moving. You know, when we passed H.R. 2, we should have passed our Department of Homeland Security appropriations bill. When we moved the NDAA, we should have moved the defense appropriations bill. But we're behind, and someone has to be held accountable for the fact that we've been off schedule. We can't blame Joe Biden and the Democrats for why the Republican-controlled House of Representatives hasn't passed single-subject spending bills. That's our fault. Mm-hmm. So we have to deal with that. We will likely have to endure some degree of a shutdown, but that's why right now, rather than dithering around with the Donald CR that doesn't have the votes, we should be moving single subject spending bills.
Okay. So you have the McCarthy wing, the Chip Roy wing, the Matt Gaetz wing. Truth be told, I liked a lot of things I heard from Matt Gaetz right there. But all this aside, all of them, it doesn't matter the wing. They're all discussing more bricks. It's crazy for me and you to sit and watch the complete ineptitude and insanity taking place in Washington, D.C. Allow me to roll it back for you one more time. our current situation, what it means to be $33 trillion in debt.
All these things that we've spent money on over the years, over the decades, we've borrowed. We haven't collected enough taxes from Americans to pay for the spending. And so we've built this $33 trillion debt mountain. And that's just the tip of the mountain, because there's a lot of debt that is unfunded that we still are obligated to pay. The U.S. government has co-signed a lot of liabilities. And when you add that all together, you're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars. It is completely unpayable. And historically, the way governments get out of the situation is through inflation. They just print away the value of their liabilities, but they destroy everybody's savings and everybody's, you know, paper assets and their way.
And that's what they're all doing right now, as they destroy not just our present, as they destroy our future financially. They're all discussing where to spend billions, how many billions there should be, how many bricks should be added to the life raft when the train is coming down the tracks. Why are we having these discussions? This shouldn't even be, and I realize we're in an era where Democrats are just America-hating communists trying to burn the country down. I'm not naive, but this shouldn't even be a Republican-Democrat thing. Every party should be meeting now to discuss what are the few things we're going to keep to avoid defaulting on the national debt so everyone isn't financially ruined. We can keep a few bare bones things, guys. What are they going to be? That should be the discussion. Instead, nobody's even talking about that. That's what really gets me. How we are a million miles away from even having an honest discussion about the things we should be discussing. Golly. All right. We have to talk about this George Washington statue and some emails. We have to talk to you about ways you can save money now, because Lord knows we all need to be banking something. And maybe you're saying, Jesse, I don't know how. Jesse, I've cut as many bills as I can. I don't know what to do. Okay, well, here's what you need to do. Switch to Pure Talk. My family of four, we switched to Pure Talk. Our bill, we were with T-Mobile before, got cut in half. Think what it would mean in a year or two if your cell phone bill got cut in half and you could bank all that money. Might make up for a bit of that inflation, no? And Pure Talk, they're a patriotic cell phone company. Unlike Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, they actually share your values and my values. And switching is easy. Their customer service team, they're all Americans. They hire Americans. You talk to someone and they speak English. It's just so frigging wonderful. All you do is pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And before we get to the Reparations Tax Task Force and the George Washington statue coming down in New York City, I just want to get to something that's a bit more serious here. As you know, the UAW, all these auto workers, they're on strike right now. They want more from the big three automakers. And Senator John Fetterman has stepped in. And I heard this today, and I'll tell you what, I thought it was inspiring. He's got a message for these auto worker CEOs, for these CEOs of the auto companies, and he couldn't be more clear.
My message to the CEOs is, you know, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning that, you know, how many yachts can they need, to water ski behind it?
Take that, CEOs. How many more of the yacht ski yacht things? Take it to the man. All right. Focus. New York City. I owe New York City another debt of gratitude, not just for the great 710 WOR, but for daily handing out headlines that make us all go, oh my gosh, that sounds freaking horrible. You see, New York City, they're in the middle of a budget disaster right now. A budget disaster for many reasons, but one of the main catalysts for New York City going through a budget disaster is They declared themselves many years ago to be a sanctuary city, and they enjoyed the lofty status in white liberal land of being a sanctuary city with no illegals. That has always been a great aid to New York City, except now they have illegals, lots of them. Joe Biden and the communists, they have opened up the border on purpose. And let's pause for a moment. Let's make sure we realize this. They didn't fumble the border, the Biden administration. It's not a whoopsie. It's not a mistake, contrary to what you hear from Republicans. The communists have always believed in opening up America's southern border to flood the country with illegals, which will cause the country to burn down and break. Their goal, it's this old Cloward Pivot strategy, is to break the system. That's what they want. Joe Biden and his communists around him opened up the border on purpose. That's why he goes to New York City. He's four blocks away from all the problems, and he doesn't even pop in to say hi.
Despite the UN being just four avenues away from the Roosevelt Hotel, which is the migrant intake center here in New York City, the president has no plans to visit or address the migrant crisis here in New York. In fact, he has no plans to meet with Mayor Adams during his three-day visit, a departure from last year when the two met and attended fundraisers together. The federal government also making no indication that they intend to increase funding to New York City. FEMA providing $104 million. For context, that covers just 13 days of the crisis here.
Joe Biden is not going to back off his open borders policy because it's not a mistake he can fix. It's something that's done intentionally, and it's working exactly the way he wants it to work. So there's no need to meet with Eric Adams and talk about border security measures or anything else, because that's not even an option for Joe Biden. Now, as New York is going through a horrific budget crisis, I think it's important for people to understand what the city council is currently working on. They're going to remove George Washington statues, and they're going to create a reparations task force. Now, maybe you're screaming, yelling at the radio right now. Maybe you're in your taxi driving around New York City, punching the actual radio in your car. Please stop doing this. Just understand, this is what I've been warning about for the longest time, when I've been warning that there is no bottom. There's no bottom, because you're not dealing with bad. When you deal with communists, you're dealing with evil. And the difference is simply this. If I am a bank robber, I may very well wake up one day after a life of crime. Put your hands in the air and give me all your money. And I may have a change of heart, and I may say, man, this is a life of crime. It is wrong. I'm stealing from people. I've been hurting people. I am giving up my life of crime. I'm going to go work construction. I'm just going to have a normal life from now on. A bad person may very well do that, but an evil demon never stops. An evil demon never wakes up and looks around and says, gosh, hey, devil, we've gone too far, right? Is this as far enough? I feel like this is far enough. I feel like if we go any further, it will be gross and weird. I don't want to make it worse. It's ridiculous, isn't it, to even think about? You're not dealing with bad. You're dealing with evil. People ask me, what are the horrors that are still coming for big cities, for these big commie areas like New York City? Jesse, what's next? What's next? And the best answer, I know it's an easy answer, but it's true. The best answer is, oh my gosh, everything. What will they destroy next? Everything. They're communists. They're religiously committed to destruction, even of their own areas. New York City Council sitting down, having a meeting, blaming George Washington, and coming up with just how many millions to hand out to black people who can trace their history back to slavery, while the city is being financially shattered by its sanctuary city status. What are the man-made horrors that will still come for New York City? Oh my gosh, I don't know specifically, because I'm not a demon. I know this, the destruction never ends until people start changing the way they vote. As long as New Yorkers continue to flood the polls and vote Democrat every time, it will descend down and down and down and down into the pit of hell without end. Without end. Stop voting Democrat or this never changes. Remember, you voted for this. Well, not you specifically, but that's the line you use on the New York Democrats, you know. You voted for this. Here's another line you use on them. I love these. This is a line you need to use on everybody. Democrat, Republican, everybody. I want you to use this line. Say it with me. You're shortchanging yourself on your bed sheets. I want you to say that line over and over again to people. You're shortchanging yourself on your bed sheets. In fact, I think I'm going to text somebody right now. I'm going to text my buddy Luis right now. You're shortchanging yourself on your bed sheets. You see? He needs to know that Percal sheets from MyPillow, they're on sale right now. He can get a queen size set, $35. They're normally $85.98. It's the greatest sheets ever. $35? $25 for a twin set. What kind of a nut job would miss out on a deal like this? You spend a third of your life in bed. Spend a third of your life wrapped in Percal sheets, baby. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener special square at the top. And use that wonderful promo code Jesse, J-E-S-S-E. That's how you get the deal on Percal sheets. MyPillow.com, radio listener special square, promo code Jesse, or call them. Don't be on your phone. Don't be on the internet when you're on the highway. Just call them. 800-845-0544. Vladimir Zelensky was in Washington, D.C. today. Probably some pretty bad timing, but we'll talk about Vladimir Zelensky and his system membership card. Next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.